Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realize this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, that was not the end of the vaccine story. This is Wretched Radio, perhaps, okay, probably not, but perhaps you tuned in earlier this week. We had a conversation. All right, gentlemen, I need your math help. What's 2 divided by 7?
Ooh,
yeah, that's a tricky one right there. We worked through 2 of 7 steps in formulating a worldview. 2 out of 7. Now, I can't do the division on this, but I do know. Okay, I'm pretty certain 2 is less than 7. Therefore, that tells me we did not conclude the conversation on vaccines, which is the raging chatter on the internet, perhaps at your dinner table. What will the Christian do if the government mandates a vaccination? We don't know if that's going to happen, of course, and we don't want to worry about tomorrow because it's not here yet. But that does not mean it is not wise to work through issues if there is a reasonable chance it could come knock, knock, knocking on your door. Be ready. Think it through in advance. And we began that process earlier this week and made it through 2 steps. Some people, having heard a part of that conversation, concluded, ah, that's where Skinny Boy stands on the issue. He's blank. And the answer to that is no, actually, it's not precisely where I stand on the issue, because we only went through 2 out of the 7 steps of formulating a Christian worldview. Did anybody do the math in there?
2 divided by 7.
You yep, did not.
I didn't. I know it's not half.
What have you been doing in there? It is 2 single digits, gentlemen. How hard is... Let me get my calculator. I'll figure this out.
28%.
We got through, give or take, a quarter. That's good enough for polling. We got through about a quarter of that conversation. Remember the 7 steps of formulating a biblical worldview, at least according to me. This is basically how I think through any given issue. And I think these are all the components. You can put them in whatever order you choose. You don't have to perhaps think through every single step every single time you read a newspaper story. But number one, I get rid of my not suppositions. Those are the things I tenaciously hold to. My pre-understandings, they scoot. I get rid of them. Whatever I think about vaccines, whatever I think about COVID, whatever I think about what is going on with Fauci or Trump or Pelosi, all of it has to go. Step 2, you take a look at the explicit verses, and I put 1 verse only in that camp regarding vaccines. And that verse was Romans 13 that we submit to the government. My encouragement was, it's really important that you get that step figured out. That's probably the biggest verse that we're going to have to wrangle with when it comes to the issue of vaccines, because if the government mandates it, we're told to submit to the government. Yikes! Do I need to put a needle in my arm or my children's arms? And so we simply worked through the historical understanding of Romans 13. We had a Lutheran view. We had a Presbyterian / Calvin view. And then we had a 3rd category, which was more of a, let's call it a contemporary Baptistic, which is kind of view number 2 plus church. I created even a 4th category. Where I suggested if the government realm gets involved in other realms of authority, then that's a problem too. If the government, which is a realm of authority, tells my church, you need to have more egress routes for fire safety, I'm down with that. No harm, no foul. Okay, they're trying to do good. It's not causing me to sin, that'd be Acts 4 and 5, and it's not getting involved in worship, because I believe in the regulative principle of worship. God determines worship. The government cannot stick its nose in there. But there's other realms of authority. How's about the familial realm? Can the government tell families what to do? And the answer to that is yes and no. They can tell us as a family, pay your taxes. You can't perhaps build this type of thing on your land because it's not safe. Okay. But if the government stepped into my home and said, you cannot administer corporal punishment. Uh-oh. Now we've got an issue.
Overstepping.
It's overstepping. But it's not just overstepping, in my opinion, because I don't think this qualifies for the government doing good, which is described in Romans 13, but because they're overstepping into my realm of things that God has commanded me to do. Now, this is a little bit more preposterous, but if the government gave a mandate that said, husbands, hate your wives. I'm sorry, I can't listen to that. First of all, I shouldn't hate anybody. But I'm also commanded specifically to love my wife in a protective, sacrificial way. So now they've stepped too far because, no, that's this realm. And you're that realm. And I think that fourth category that I've concocted, maybe others hold to it, has the most bumpers on it for safety. Now, that's as far as we got.
So that's where I tune you out, right?
That was the clip that we posted on the YouTube machine and the Facebook page, and it was very reasonable. People were like, "Hey, Wes, so are you just taking that? That's it? So now we take the vaccine?" That wasn't the intention. The intention was this is this step. What are the other steps? You've got implicit Bible verses, and there's a lot of them that apply, aren't there? Now, some you might say are closer to the bullseye of explicit than others, but we have all kinds of considerations. Furthermore, another step, what is the gospel? How does the gospel inform me? Historically, what has the church said about issues like this? What about my testimony? If I do this, will the world say that? Now I put all of those things together and I stir them around, then I render my verdict. And guess what I do next? Now I pressure test it. Now I take all of those pre-understandings that I had at the beginning that I got rid of and I try to apply it and say, well, what about this? Well, what about my concern that the pandemic is a scandemic, huh? And you put that into the formula after you've worked through it biblically. We got through 28% of that process. So to the people who went, hey, what are you trying to pull here? Fair enough. It wasn't the totality of the entire presentation or the argument. So now the question that probably doesn't rise in your mind, but it does in mine. When will we get to the other? Okay, hold on one second.
28%, which would mean I'm not quitting.
72% of the argument. And the answer to that question, as I stand here at this moment, is Friday. Not this Friday, but coming soon. We are going to take the time to put together a really thorough presentation on the subject of vaccines and the Christian so that we can present it in a very thoughtful, uninterrupted presentation on a Facebook Live event. So stay tuned for that. I don't think we're in danger of getting a vaccine until that time, and we will work through it, and it will reveal why there is so much acrimony over this subject and why we should understand the totality of all of the positions on this so that we don't just kill one another with our, I'm on this side, you're on that side, how can you think like this? What's the matter with you on that? I think what will be revealed is, whoa, this is a complex issue, and we will work through it so that you can work through it with your family. Because you know how much it matters what I think about the Christian and mandated vaccines?
How much?
Nothing. For your family, my family, different scenario, but not for your family. You'll need to figure this one out. And we embarked on that, didn't complete it, but we will very, very soon. Another story that was interesting. I have to confess, I was a little surprised. We were talking about the situation, the mess, really, at Liberty University. And I believe that my talking points on it were, this is really bad news. It's bad for the church. It's bad for evangelism. It's just bad for a man, his wife, his family, an institution. I thought I said that. Some people thought, I guess I should have said it louder or perhaps more sternly. I don't know how much more stern it can be said of Jerry Falwell Jr. and his wife that they are in spiritual danger. They need to repent. As far as we can tell from a distance, repentance is not happening there. I don't know if I need to set my hair on fire to make the point, but I thought that
was pretty clear.
Strong a statement as you can make on this subject. Now, I bring that up so that we can continue praying for Liberty University. It is a big institution. Thousands of kids go there, and there are some really good people there that are teaching. And we have been praying for them because it would be so much better if they turned more to the right than to the left. And I indicated it's not a good start because they're giving Jerry Jr. $10.5 million in severance. Second, I received the letter from the office of the president, and I had hoped that there would be some repentance on the part of the board to say, hey, we should have known about this. We should have held this man accountable, but we didn't. We don't see that in the current response from Liberty University. Does that mean that they've gone all squishy and that they're going to just turn to the liberal ditch? No. But I sure think they could use even more of our prayers. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us here today. You know, we always appreciate you choosing to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We would also appreciate if you were able to find some time in your busy, busy schedules to visit the Wretched website, wretched.org. Wretched's website has some amazing content available, like full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched radio episodes. Our Wretched store contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and Don't Stub Your Toe. The Wretched library is where you can find a whole bunch of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology to marriage to evangelism. You can also visit our donate page and become a gospel partner. Without the support of our listeners, there would be no Wretched. So if you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do this without you. You can find out all of the information on becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
Suicide, typically an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's one we need to talk more about because it's the third leading cause of death among Gen Zers. This generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. Today's youth need help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it, but you know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide will provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. Give these booklets away to someone who need hope. wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. A wee bit hesitant to dive into this deep because I think the bottom line from a distance is about the only thing you and I can do this far out is pray for Liberty University. If you think this is a small story beyond the Jerry Falwell Jr. scandal itself, it is not. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world. Mike, you went there. How many? Is there 10,000 students on campus? This place is huge.
It is huge. I still go there.
Okay. And how many students are there online? There's tens of thousands online.
I think there's close to 100,000.
And so those champions they're training, they can run in all kinds of different directions once they hit the track. And that is why this is worthy of our prayer time, that Liberty University would start doing things to keep the bad things that we've seen from happening. And I, from a distance, you want to be careful that you don't try to dive too deeply into what's going on because you're not there, but you can see smoke. And you should try to determine, all right, what is going on there? Again, I don't go to Liberty University. This ministry has nothing to do with Liberty University. So I don't have a desire to do a thrash and bash on Liberty University. It is an Orthodox Christian university, small o Orthodox. Their statement of faith is Orthodox. And there are good profs there. Mike, I'm sure you know some of them. There are good teachers there. And it would be so much better for the church if Liberty University would veer more to the right. And my concern, having seen the letter from the current president of Liberty University, that they are going to try to do some things to make sure that this doesn't happen again. But I would encourage them that the starting place would be repentance. This wasn't just a Jerry Jr. failure. This wasn't just his wife's failure or pool boy's failure. This was a board failure. And there was smoke along the way. Furthermore, even if there wasn't smoke, this just should have been known. How could this, if you don't know the salacious details, just trust me when I say they're salacious. And they've been going on for years. And there was more of a failure there than just Jerry. And I would have loved it to have read from the new president less of a, hey, we're doing an investigation. We've hired a firm to look into the financial dealings, the real estate deals of Jerry Jr. to make sure these things don't happen again, as opposed to, we failed you. And we have failed this institution. And we failed our God, and we failed Jerry Jr. and his family, and we failed every student. We failed the legacy of this university. We failed the church. And that sort of repentance would point toward, and because of that, maybe Jerry isn't the only one who should be stepping aside.
That's right.
I don't know the details of everybody on the board, so I wouldn't make a blanket statement. I suspect that there were people on the board who were indeed petitioning for that. But this is a big failure. And this is a black eye. When I'm seeing this story pop up in my feed still, and you've got what's the name of the guy who used to work for Clinton and George Stephanopoulos. I haven't watched the evening news forever. Is he ABC, I believe?
I'm not sure.
He was interviewing the pool boy again. And they were getting into the details of the situation. Now, I grant you, it's just that man's story. But nevertheless, that isn't my point. It is continuing to stink up the evangelical community. Because this is red meat. This is chum in the water for secular news. They're all over this. They love yep. this. Moral majority, huh? Which is another problem with those two words put together. Remember, Christians, we're not a moral majority. We are a holy minority. We are made holy. We are not the Pharisee company. We are not the self-righteous sect. We should be the humble sinners who have been made holy by a gracious act of God. That is what we should be known for. And when we say that we are the moral majority, when we don't behave so morally, oh, wow, does the world love it.
That's when they take their shot.
They take, and can't blame them. They can't.
Yeah.
Can't blame them for doing that. It's kind of set up for that. And so my hope had been that the board at Liberty University would have expressed more than what I'm reading here. Their official statement goes like this. The board has pledged a full commitment to the spiritual mission of Liberty and has retained one of the leading forensic firms in the world to conduct a thorough investigation into all facets of Liberty University operation during Falwell's tenure as president, including but not limited to financial, real estate, and legal matters. Okay, cool, good.
Great.
You want to clean out perhaps more dirty closets? Swell. But where's the woe? Where's the throwing dirt on our animals? Where's the responsibility of the others? Jerry did not operate that university all by himself. The board will be reviewing options to establish a new role in the top leadership of the university for someone who will serve as a spiritual coach, mentor, and guide to help ensure that every member of the university leadership fulfills his or her spiritual responsibility to live out the Christian walk expected of each and every one of us at Liberty. Again, swell, and I don't know if other statements have been made, but where is the woe is us? Oh, church, this is so bad, and we are so sorry, and we are going to repent, and we are going to find not just amen, but men who can lead this university in a godly, in a better fashion than we have. Once the revelations, this is from the new president. Once the revelations about his past personal life came more fully into light, we acted swiftly and decisively to ask for his immediate resignation, which we received. Some may say that all the signs were there for a long time before last week. Huh. It's certainly fair to say that there were questionable comments made. Well,
certainly.
Yeah. Worrying behavior, right? And inappropriate social media posts. But all the signs were not there until the start of last week. Now,
I don't know about that.
And this raises an interesting question for all of us to ponder. And I grant you that the rules, which should be held somewhat loosely, can be drawn differently for each situation. But how much smoke is required before we're concerned that there's a fire? Because everybody stumbles. Everybody can sin. Everybody does dumb things. Let's just talk for a moment about your pastor. Let's just say your pastor uses a word that you deem to be coarse. And there are many these days because a current generation doesn't esteem them as coarse, but perhaps you do, and he uses one of those words. Does that mean you've got yourself a heretic?
No.
No, it doesn't mean that. Now, what if there's consistent language throughout and he's what? He's repenting. He's admitting, I'm working on this. Please hold me accountable for this. Or he doesn't acknowledge it. Hey, come on. Everybody talks like that. That's just the way that we talk, man. Okay, you've got different responses. So the point is, you've got all kinds of different scenarios. And we need to tread very, very carefully when we see smoke. We don't want to rush to judgment, but we don't want to ever exercise judgment. And it would appear that a persistent blind eye was turned in the situation of Jerry Falwell Jr. We can learn from this. We don't want to become sin hunters in our churches, but we don't want to pretend it doesn't exist either. So when do you, when don't you? Here's the bottom line. We should go looking for a deeper problem, but very, very thoughtfully, prayerfully, and carefully. And by the way, and being careful not to consult with other people. Hey, Jimmy, did you hear what your pastor did, man? I'm so concerned about this. I'm really worried about him. So can we talk about this? This is what he did. And I'm just really, my heart's just so grieved.
There's a fine line with between.
Yeah, there sure is. And we want to make sure that we don't cross that. You and I, to varying degrees, we are a board of trustees. We all, because we all must hold one another accountable. Be aware of people's sin. Is it persistent? What is the level of sin? How are they responding? Do you see growth in holiness? Are there other areas of life? We don't want to rush to judgment, but it is not a sin to pull a brother aside and say, hey, let's talk about this. I think it's always wise to start asking questions and to dig, not because we want to avoid a scandal, not because we don't want George Stephanopoulos talking about us, but because we're worried about that person's soul. That is what should be motivating us. Yep, we want to protect the church, absolutely. But we also want to protect that person from him or herself. So let us not make errors when we see smoke. Let us proceed carefully, but proceed we must. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, it's been confirmed that the death of a woman who visited the West Alabama Women's Center abortion facility in Tuscaloosa in May is under criminal investigation. A coalition of pro-life groups, which include CEC for Life, Life Legal Defense, Operation Rescue, and other Alabama organizations, sought the autopsy report for a woman who reportedly died at Druid City Hospital soon after leaving the Tuscaloosa abortion facility. The request was submitted on August 5th by Dr. Patricia Gensimer for autopsy reports for any females over 14 years of age and under 40 years of age with a date of death for May 7th, 2020 in Tuscaloosa County. Dr. Gensimer received a written response dated August 27th from the Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences, which stated in part, quote, District Attorney Hayes Webb has notified the Alabama Department of Forensic Science that this case remains under criminal investigation. Consequently, the final reports in the case are not currently public record. On the day of the woman's death, pro-life activists outside the West Alabama Women's Center observed her leaving the abortion facility. According to those activists, she appeared to be sick and pale and had to be physically supported as she struggled to walk from the clinic to an awaiting private vehicle, which then reportedly transported her to the hospital where she was later pronounced dead. Word of the ongoing criminal investigation surprised pro-life groups watching the case because earlier in August, it was reported that an investigation had already been conducted and that the Tuscaloosa Sheriff's Department found no basis for criminal charges. The West Alabama Women's Center made headlines in May 2020 when the Yellowhammer Fund purchased it from longtime owner Gloria Gray. The abortion business continued operating on the facility license issued to Gray and has not been inspected since the Yellowhammer Fund took over operations, reportedly on May 7th, the same day the woman who visited the clinic died. The pro-life coalition also has additional questions about whether Alabama law was followed in allowing the West Alabama Women's Center to continue operating under the old facility license or if a new license application should have been submitted. Well, if laws in the state of California weren't already crazy enough, try this one on for size. California lawmakers recently passed a new law that would lighten sentences for transgender people and other members of the LGBT community who have consensual sexual relations with minors within 10 years of their age. The bill passed by sweeping margins in both the California House and Senate and is now off to California's Governor Gavin Newsom for a signature. According to a report from the San Francisco Chronicle, the bill makes being registered as a sex offender for engaging in voluntary sex with minors between the ages of 14 and 17 optional, depending instead on the discretion of the judge, whereas before it was mandatory, as it should be. According to the Department of Justice, convicted sex offenders have a 40% chance of committing another crime or even having a rearrest rate that is four times higher than the rate of other crimes. That means that a sex offender is more likely than other offenders to commit the same act over and over again. Seems like just another day at the office for the California government. Remember, folks, elections do matter. More Wretched Radio still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life. And he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Physician, heal myself. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare for a challenge. I have to confess to you, I'm not all that excited to accept myself. And that's what you might call hypocrisy right there. So let us endeavor to receive a challenge and accept it. But if we do, get ready, because this is not going to be easy, but this might affect more change than anything you could possibly imagine as you watch your world burn. Are you seeing the news? Are you seeing the memes, watching the images, and you are feeling like, wow, it's all over but the shooting. This thing is an unraveling mess. I better arm up. I better load up and get ready because this thing is burning down. Let us first of all remember that even as the world might be crumbling around us, let's not look at the physical realm. There's a spiritual realm that is far more urgent here, and it is the spiritual realm behind the physical that is causing the crumbling of the physical. Even if it doesn't happen to be a Christian issue, there is always a worldview issue behind whatever you see physically manifested.
That's right.
Interesting quote from Dorothy Sayer, talking about what's going on in the news today. Quote, Christendom and heathendom now stand face to face. The people who say that this is a war of economics or of power politics or racial issues are only dabbling about things on the surface. At the bottom is a violent and irreconcilable quarrel about the nature of God and the nature of man and the ultimate nature of the universe. This is a war of dogma. We can't forget that. This is a spiritual battle. Isn't that what we're told clearly in Ephesians chapter 6? The real battle is spiritual. And I would like to offer a challenge to you and me who maybe have been lured into thinking the only important things are the big things, and the only important things are the distant things. When you watch the news, what are you seeing? Images from afar. And you're also seeing big issues, things like culture wars, and or they're changing culture, or it's a societal breakdown. What are those words? They're big cultural concepts. They're group things. They're mass things. And my challenge to myself and to you is to look closer and to consider the near things. Trevin Wax, haven't seen him for a long time, writing an article titled Love What's Near, quoting Kevin DeYoung, we want to change the world and we've never changed a diaper. His point is, we can have a tendency to want to, yeah, what's going on out there? But we're not focusing on what's going on in here. We're looking at the far and failing to do anything that we can actually do and accomplish in the near. Question, what can you do to help the economic situation? What can you do to help the political decision that's going to be made in November? Well, you know, little. But it's very local. You can vote. That's what you can do. It is highly unlikely that you are going to do, say, or record something that causes the entire country to go, boing, I should have been thinking about it like that. You're not going to change the culture. All you can do is do what you can do near. Andy Crouch, warning about focusing our attention on changing the culture out there somewhere, when we find it nearly impossible to cultivate and maintain the flourishing of culture we'd like to see in our own home. If you've been feeling perhaps overwhelmed by what's out there, this encouragement is to focus more, therefore, on what is in here. Rather than focusing on the family, the encouragement is to focus on our families.
That's right.
I can't fix cultures working on family values. I can't do it. But I can work on my family's values.
I spend more time wanting to change people's opinions on social media as opposed to training up my own children and spending time discipling my wife.
Move it from the family realm to the local church realm. We can talk about stories out there. What's going on? We can see polls. And we can hear those statistics and go, oh, wow, we've got to change the church. Hold it. I doubt you can. But what we can change is our church. Yep. We lament the relationships that we see out there, the animosity out there. But are we turning our attention to our relationships in here? And that is a challenge. And I think it's provocative because consider the number of people that could be affected if you and I would just get on it and actually do something specifically. While Trevin was focusing on the family, I'd like to turn our attention not just to the family and not just to the local church, but to the world, specifically via evangelism. There are tens and tens of people listening to this program right now. What if instead of, this challenge goes at me just as much as it goes at you, instead of spending, say, an hour today consuming bad news about what's going on out there, we spent an hour having targeted somebody in my neighborhood that I could love and evangelize. Now, just for yucks, let's say that there are 10 people listening to this program, and 10 of us determined we're going to spend the next year doing some strategizing. Who is it that I can target where it would make some sense in my life, in my world, with my schedule, with my means, and start being kind to them, start loving them, start evangelizing them, starting befriending them in my hood? And what if next, by the time next year happened, 5 people got saved? Whoa.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's 5 votes, most likely, by the way. That's 5 people who are going to start changing the neighborhood I live in, which is going to affect the city that I live in, which will affect the state that I live in, which affects the nation I live in. See, I can do something near, but I can't fix what's afar. Now, what if, now let's just imagine, what if there's 100,000 people listening to this program right now, and we all determined, I'm going to maybe put down my cell phone instead of going through the terror stories of the day, and instead of watching another hour or 2 or 4, ain't it funny how time slips away when you are getting incensed by watching cable news? And I'm going to invest that energy in a person. Now, maybe this is being a little Pollyannish, but okay, instead of just consuming bad, you know that neighbor that I'm loving on? They have not mowed their lawn. I'm just going to go do it.
I wish that was my neighbor.
Just gonna go do it. Don't we all? Or I'm just going to spend time so that I'm targeting that coffee shop, and I'm just going to go hang out there, and I'm talking to these people over and over and over and over again. What if that were 100,000 people? And what if 25% of our targets turn to the Lord? It'd be 25,000 people. Now, that's going to make a difference, isn't it? We have a tendency to overlook the small because we want the big. But if all of us were doing small things, it would have a big impact, wouldn't it? We can do something small. In the Peanuts strip from 1959, Linus Van Pelt says, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. We're all about loving others and loving people and loving your neighbor in the abstract. But when we discover the others around us and the actual persons we come to know, and our real next door neighbor might turn out to be harder to love than we expected. Are you loving your neighbor? Are we evangelizing our world? Not the world, our world. Consider this quote from the brothers Karamazov. Father Zosima, confessing of a doctor he once knew. I love mankind, but I'm amazed at myself. The more I love mankind in general, the less I love people in particular. That is, individually, as separate persons. In my dreams, I often went so far to think passionately of serving mankind, and it may be, would really have gone to the cross for people if it were somehow suddenly necessary. And yet, I'm incapable of living in the same room with anyone even for 2 days. I know this from experience. As soon as someone is there, close to me. His personality oppresses my self-esteem and restricts my freedom. In 24 hours, I can begin to hate even the best of men. And because he takes too long eating his dinner, another because he has a cold and keeps blowing his nose, I become the enemy of people the moment they touch me. Is that true of you? Is that true of me? We desire to see everybody out there fixed. But we're not focusing on our family. And we're not focusing on those that are near us. Is it possible that applies to you? What if it is in loving what is nearest to us, where we are most likely to find happiness and bring about lasting change in the world? What if it is in the cultivation of culture at home, with our neighbors and our church, where the most magnificent and significant changes can actually take place? Question. Christian, are you up for that challenge? Instead of loving the world, are you willing to love your family, love your church, and love your neighbors by evangelizing them? This is Wretched Radio. This is me biting my tongue, introducing Paul Marty from Tomorrow Clubs.
Communism so wreaked havoc in the countries where we work that they not only need physical rebuilding, but they need spiritual rebuilding as well.
Would love to offer a political commentary, but instead would like to encourage you to support your very own Tomorrow Club. In Eastern Europe, they are still feeling the ravages of communism, and very few missionary organizations seem to find their way to the poorest of the poor nations in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs does. They teach the gospel to kids every week in kids' clubs. They meet in small, poor villages where they share the gospel. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel home, and moms and dads get saved. Please consider supporting your very own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclub.org/wretched.
And now, some quotes from Todd Friel of Wretched TV.
Over here with the skinny jeans. Me. Hey! Zingbo! Hoo-ah! Yikes.
Check one, two.
And out 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 and out. I know what it wasn't it wasn't Geico.
And finally,
love me tender.
These quotes are just some of the brilliance you can expect to hear on Wretched TV. To witness even more profound, life-changing words of wisdom, you'll need to visit wretched.org/TV. Besides the absolute genius you just heard, you will also hear topics like pneumatology, evangelism, parenting, and so much more. Get your wretched fill at wretched.org/TV. That's wretched.org/TV.
Zoinks, Scoob. And now, a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey! As long as I'm getting up your nose, this is Wretched Radio. Friel, no different than any other day, would like to offer you, I would like to make a second challenge to ask you to consider, what are you thinking about? What do you spend your time pondering, even when you're not aware that you're actually thinking? Because you do, you know. You're thinking all the time. Even when you're not studying for an exam, trying to memorize a Bible verse, your noggin is not turned off. It doesn't even go to sleep when you're asleep. You dream, okay? I grant you, they're wonky. By the way, does anybody know if there really is something about Asian food that causes dreams? Because that's kind of the joke.
Really?
Right? Somebody goes, I had this dream, right? So, like, John MacArthur actually had R.C. Sproul's head, and he believed that we should be baptizing teenagers only. What is that?
Is this your dream?
And then somebody will go, what'd you eat Chinese food?
Well, I've never heard that. I've heard that about Mexican food.
Okay. Yeah. All right. How's about just food? Forget the ethnicity. Does food cause you to dream wacky, or are dreams just wacky? Because your brain doesn't shut down. The synapses just keep firing. You put together a concoction of thoughts or worries, experiences from the day. They all get slammed together. And the next thing you know, you're riding a three-wheeled car to Graceland to scrub the BLM graffiti off of the wall. And Elvis comes out, but he's actually Charo.
That's a little more detailed than
okay. Elvis and Charo have a baby. Oh man, coochie coochie. You don't even know who Charo is. Quit laughing.
I'm not who Elvis is.
You don't know who Charo
is. I'm laughing at your impression.
Oh, thank you very much. What are dreams? It's your brain continuing to work because it never stops. You're consuming stuff. You're consuming information. You're consuming messages. There is, I think it's pretty safe to say, every poem you read, okay, you say, I don't read poetry, but you listen to music, even though today's poetry is really bad set to music, it's still a worldview behind it. Somebody penned it, and they've got thoughts behind it. They're trying to say something, even if it's just love is really groovy. That's still, which is actually a song about having a groovy kind of love. There's a worldview behind that. Whoever wrote that loves love. Imagine all the people. John Lennon had a worldview. It was a Marxist worldview, but it was a worldview song, and that gets in there. So you're just walking through the grocery store, and you hear, "'Cause I'm hungry like the wolf." You're getting something from Duran Duran coming into your head. They're trying to say something. And it was probably sexual. So that's getting in there too. And you're thinking on those things, and they form us and they shape us and they cause us to work through issues. And if you and I are consuming a lot of that from the world, which is typically anti-God, anti-moral, that's what you're thinking on. And that is a problem. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5. There's strongholds built up in our brains, walls of lies. And we need a battering ram, which is the word, to tear them down and build up new walls of truth. And when you and I are consuming more lies than truth, then our thinking is going to be stinking. And we have an encouragement and an exhortation from Philippians chapter 4. This was written by, I built a fish. Larry, how small is this print? This was written by Keith Matheson, pointing this out about Philippians 4, 8, and 9. You're supposed to think about. Think about what? We're already told what we are to think about in Philippians 4. The evening news, politics in Washington, what's going on in social justice realms, and Hollywood. No, it doesn't say that. It offers a different list. And if you take a moment to consider what is at the foundation of each one of these objects in the list, it's going to take you to the same destination every single time. Think on things that are pure, lovely, virtuous, noble, worthy of praise. What are all those things? Where do I find all of those things?
Not Facebook.
Is there anything or anyone that has any of those lovely things? And is there one person who has all of those things? then you and I are commanded to do what? Think on those things. And in this instance, because all of those things point to a thing, which happens to be a person, we are going to be focusing on God. That is what we're supposed to be focusing on. Is it any wonder that we see a world that is so depressed? The suicide rate, the depression and anxiety rate, the pharmaceutical companies cannot crank out pills fast enough to help people with their emotional issues. Why? Because they are consuming sludge all day. Clichés exist for a reason. Garbage in, garbage out. You are what you
eat.
Eat. Monkey see.
Monkey do.
Monkey do. That is how it works. The world has caught on to some truth with those clichés. And we need to embrace that. And here's where it gets tricky. It can be hard, can't it? Because no matter how many times a preacher will say the complexities of God, the intricacies of God, the vast nature of God, you can never tap the bottom of the well. You can never plummet. You can never, ever, ever, ever get to the end of things to think about with God. That's true. And it should always be interesting, but let's be honest. It can be a, what's the Christian word? Discipline. It's a discipline. Why? Because our unredeemed flesh likes fun, likes easy. It still desires more carnal than spiritual things. It's until God gives us that eternal body that no longer has these strainings inside of it, a desire to hear the lies. Our flesh loves the lies because they're carnal. And because they're fallen and they're anti-God. And that is what the devil delivers to it. He puts it on a platter and we eat that slop with joy. It does not need to be garnished well. We like it. He can just put it onto our plates with a big ladle, a blop. There's your plate of lies. Oh, give me more. Give me more. Now, even when we're saved, our flesh still desires those things. And that is where the process of sanctification comes in. How does that happen? I've got to renew my mind. I got to tear down those walls with what? The truth. Therefore, even as I might on any given day, okay, I'm not in the mood to sit down and read my Bible, but I'm gonna, because it's the best thing I can do right now, and it's good for my soul, and it's good for my mind. And when I consume these things, I'm gonna be better, and I'm gonna feel better. And I'm going to think better. And my emotions are going to be better. That's what I'm going to get. There's a reward at the end of this struggle to discipline my brain, to just buckle down and think on things that are what?
Pure.
Pure.
Just.
What is pure? What is the word about? Whatever is true. Think about what you consume, how many lies you consume. The Bible is pure, unadulterated truth. God is truth. Consume Him. It's better for us. It just is. May I ask you to challenge yourself as I challenge myself, rather than getting sucked in again to watch more dog rescue videos, which is watching a dog get rescued. But what am I seeing with a dog rescue video? Okay, I said earlier, there's a worldview behind something. There's a message behind it. There's something that's feeding my brain. What is feeding my brain when I see these dog rescue videos? There was some cruelty involved for those dogs to be in that situation. They're starving. They're abandoned. People do terrible things to animals. I'm consuming that. I just like when they get rescued. I know we like that part and maybe even skip forward to that. But the foundation of it is there was something bad and you just consume that. Little nibble, little morsel. Don't even think about it. Not cognizant about it, but it's getting in there. Bad, 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 bad. And that's all you feed. And bad, 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 bad. What do you think you're going to think like? What are your emotions going to be like? Think about what is true.
Like you said, your mind's always in that process of thinking. And so when we don't fill that with the things of God, the things that are pure, the things that are just, it's going to be filled by things of the world.
It just is. Nothing escapes your noggin, but I don't feel it. Right. We don't. It goes in there. You forget a million things, but that doesn't mean they don't have an effect. Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, Does your sitcom contain all purity? Whatever is lovely, does watching Portland burn look lovely to you? Whatever is commendable, in other words, what is worthy of praise? Whatever is excellent, who is this defining and describing? God, may I challenge you to look at your diet. I'm not saying never watch the news, never listen to music, but watch your diet. And maybe, just maybe, it is possible we need to start cutting not our carbs, but our consumption of what is ugly and dirty and false, and start consuming what is true and lovely and worthy of praise, which is contained in one package, Jesus. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.